This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinere on Air. Jane Matinere, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Wednesday, January 22nd. The average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin today, $3.62. The average price of a dozen eggs in Wisconsin, $5.11. A reminder, Governor Tony Evers is going to give the annual State of the State address. That is tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Tune into Civic Media for special coverage, including with Todd Alba, political editor Dan Schaefer, and other members of the Civic Media news team. Also, Up North News and our friend Pat Kreitlow will be there for our special coverage tonight of Governor Evers' 2025 State of the State address that starts across Civic Media tonight at 7 p.m. Wanted to start off, though, Chris Larson, State Senator Chris Larson, is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. It is dry January.
It is indeed.
And this seems to be growing in popularity, more and more people taking part.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this a little bit, about the growing number of sober groups. And,
yeah,
and again, we're about 15 years apart in age.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who, like me, who grew up in the 60s and 70s, this is a big switch.
Yeah.
About the acceptance of people who don't drink, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk to Chris Larson a little bit about binge drinking in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we still number one?
We're still they've released another top 50 counties, and we always have at least 40 of them.
Yeah. Wisconsin represents.
Yep.
So we'll be talking about that and also some of the health issues regarding booze and cancer.
Yes. Yeah.
So we will be talking about that with Chris Larson. Also, it looks like a bipartisan measure, shocking, in the Wisconsin State Legislature about gun safes.
Okay.
So we'll be talking about that with Senator Chris Larson coming up after the 10:30 news. Stick around for that. Hour number two. Yes, we could have nice things, but...
Oh.
Someone says no. Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine at 11:20. 11:33 will lighten it up. This food is coming back.
Very excited.
I didn't realize it had gone.
Never left my heart.
We'll take your calls about that, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the good edition. That's going to wrap up the show around 11:51. Wanted to start off, though. I saw my first Supreme Court television ad last night.
Yeah.
They're here.
I have not seen, I haven't gotten a text message. I haven't gotten an email. I haven't seen anything on TV yet.
Oh, you will.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about that.
They're starting, and it's going to be here before you know it. Yeah. We head to the polls February 1st.
Yeah. Great.
February 1st.
Great.
Not far away. Susan Crawford running against Brad Schimmel for the open spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So we wanted to take a little time, start off this hour with getting to know Brad.
Yeah, we're going to get to, I'm looking it up just to make sure the.
Not February 1st.
It's not.
That's
it's
a primary.
And that's a Saturday. Just want to make sure he'd see.
Let's get the right date.
We're going to get the right. You keep talking. I'll look it up.
From the Wisconsin Examiner, headline reads, Schimmel campaign touts endorsement from sheriff accused of sexual harassment. This article in the Wisconsin Examiner from Henry Redman. Of course, Brad Schimmel was the former attorney general under Scott Walker. And then Walker, on his way out, gifted Mr. Schimmel with a district judgeship. And now he wants to run for attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
According to this article in the Wisconsin Examiner, he has an ad up surrounded by law enforcement.
Yeah.
Brad Schimmel touting the support of Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes. The county board, where Mr. Hakes is county sheriff
yep.
in Chippewa, Last year, they voted 19-1.
19-1.
19-1, finding no confidence in him after he was accused of sexually harassing a female job applicant and subordinate. An independent investigation into Sheriff Hakes, initiated by the board, found he'd sent inappropriate messages to a female job applicant, including a text sharing racist, ethnically charged memes. In the text, he told this woman she was the best person for the job.
Okay, as a comedian, I don't condone this childish behavior. I said to you before the show, that's the kind of thing you find in a card at a Spencer's Gifts.
Yes. Yes.
But that play on words is just bonkers bad. Just if you, I mean, ugh, don't do it ever, but come on.
In December of 2023, the Chippewa County DA put Sheriff Hakes on the county's Brady list. That's a document prosecutors are required to send to defense attorneys naming law enforcement officials, quote, who have incidents of untruthfulness, criminal convictions, candor issues, or some other type of issue placing their credibility into question, unquote. All good.
Just nothing but the best here.
All good.
Brad's buds.
Because of his inclusion on this list, Sheriff Hakes is unable to be actively involved in investigations or to handle physical evidence. So why is he in that job?
I would love to tell you I know why, but I can't figure out how people like this get to keep their jobs. And when you look at this picture here, like I'm going to post this article in the show notes today. There's Brad Schimmel just standing there like he's in some dad band. Here are my buddies. And we got a guy who clearly can't do his job, shouldn't be in his job. But yet there he is. And for some reason, his endorsement carries water.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Well, but again, we're assuming that people will research this and look into who these people are, which most of us just don't do. We have lives. There's other things going on. I get that.
Yes.
But that's why we kind of take the time to zero in a little bit on this stuff.
Well, this is where I'll go back, and I've done this before. If you're listening to us and you don't agree with anything we say, it's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. We all have them. Why will this information, which is truthful, the Wisconsin Examiner, they are right down the middle. They're not a left-leaning liberal rag. Will this influence your decision that Brad Schimmel allows a person like this to endorse him? Like, if you want to get the endorsements from cops. I get that. Every politician does.
Oh, for sure.
And judges love to be tough on crime.
Right.
But if this guy's standing next to you, what does that say about the person you might vote for? Think about that. Just think about it. Is he the right guy for the job?
Well, we could move just right onto Pete Hegseth.
Well, I know.
And all the sexual assault allegations against, or the sexual allegations against him, and the drinking and the drunkenness, and apparently none of that matters.
No, it doesn't, but
because they're all about forgiveness, you know.
I know.
855-752-4842. Bill from Oconomowoc on the line. Good morning, sir. What do you want to say about this?
Oh, I love talking about Brad Schimmel almost as much as we like talking about our favorite Robin. But anyhow, on Brad, he's got so much baggage. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't he involved in the cover-up of the fake electoral votes, or do I have that wrong? And number two, doesn't he want a gold coin printed about him? And number three, like you said, if the right advertising firm gets a hold of this, he doesn't stand a chance.
You don't think so, Bill?
No, because of his past, his baggage. Yes, this 2025 is the year of the criminal, according to Trump. This is the year of the criminal. But clear-thinking people who have it late, and you said it best just a minute ago, you said people don't research.
No.
Because if they did, if our public research, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in. So I think it's maybe up to us as people that follow this stuff to challenge them. You don't have to agree with me, but at least do some research and get back to me and tell me what you find.
to clarify what you're talking about, Bill, he wanted to, is interested. He declared.
Brad Schimmel.
Brad Schimmel reopening an investigation into unproven voter fraud claims. Yes, he does. He did spend a lot of money on gold coins that were basically
$10,000 of taxpayer money.
Yep. That. So yeah, he does have those and other things as well. He's not fit for the job. He's not a good candidate for the Republicans. Like the Republicans, if they wanted to, could do better. They could find many other judges out there who could run for this position.
Well, it's his turn.
Yeah, it's his turn.
It's his turn. Yeah. And you know what, Bill? I just don't think that allegations of sexual assault and sexual abuse matter anymore. I don't think people care. I don't.
I just think they think they're lies now.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I was still on the air. Thanks. Here's the deal. You're right. They think this is lies, but I deal with a lot of Republicans. In fact, in the classes I'm involved in, I got more Republicans than Democrats. But one thing with Republicans that I've learned, the fringe ones, or not even the fringe ones, some of the hardcore, challenge them in facts in a nice way, where it's not, you jerk, you know.
Sure,
yeah.
Say, look, check this out. Get back to me. I've actually told a Christian man that's a big Trumper, I believe that Donald Trump, and I do, is the Antichrist. He actually is still listening to me. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Can you believe that? He actually even follows me. And he didn't, when I said the word Antichrist, he actually smiled and said nothing. I really believe that a lot of these people, they're like sheep. And you get the right sheepdog and the right shepherd, and they can be herded any which way, even off a cliff.
Well, you're taking the right approach, Bill. Nothing is accomplished, again, and I've said this from when I produced for Kristen. If all you have are insults and profanity, you have no argument.
Yeah.
So you're not going to convince anybody that way. So I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you so very much for checking in. Always appreciate you listening. But I also think that with some people, you can bring up a fact about the Trump administration, and they're going to immediately revert it back to, yeah, but what about Biden?
Oh, yeah. So
without ever addressing the question that was asked, it's always, yeah, but what about what about that?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to keep going here. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt and Aaron here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, State Senator Chris Larson is going to join us. We're going to talk about drinking.
Mm-hmm.
In Wisconsin, binge drinking in particular in Wisconsin. It's dry January.
Yep.
A lot of people abstaining this month to give their livers a little break to breathe. But if you have any favorite mocktail recipes, mm-hmm. if you're taking part in dry January, we would love to hear from you and hear what your replacement is.
If dry January has led you to maybe just not drinking. I have friends who started with dry January. And then said, I'll try February. And either they have far decreased or just quit drinking altogether. So,
and it was just a matter of, you know what, I don't miss it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I, you know, and we'll talk about this more with Senator Larson, but I truly believe You quit something when you want to, not when you feel like you're forced or...
Absolutely.
You have to want it.
Yes, you do. You can't make it. It's not about making a deal with anybody.
Yep.
It's, yeah. So we'll kick that around a little bit after 10:30. I did want to talk a little bit more about the blanket pardons that Donald Trump issued immediately upon entering office. And I think that this is important detail. J.D. Vance allegedly pushed for a blanket pardon early in the discussions into heading into Inauguration Day. This is the part that kills me. Staffers felt that a case-by-case review of all 1,500 cases would be too onerous.
Too much work.
Too much work. So Trump just landed on clemency for all of them to get it in the past.
He actually said something that we can't say on the air about it.
It
but
was effort.
It was, yeah, just do it.
Just do it. I don't care.
Which, from his standpoint, was very smart, because if those clemencies and that, those considerations hung over his head for even a few months.
Dragged on.
That's the question. It's like, hey, where's your health care plan? Hey, where is your fix for all of our spending problems you say we have? Hey, what about the clemencies for January 6th? So just...
This way it's done.
Just done.
And we assume people will forget.
Mm-hmm.
Among the people that he pardoned, all the best people.
Yeah.
All the best traitors. Stuart Rhodes of Texas, Kelly Meigs of Florida, the founder and current leader of the Oath Keepers.
Yeah.
As well as members of the Proud Boys. And the ex-wife of Stuart Rhodes told Jim Acosta on CNN she's afraid for her life now that he's been released. And I think back to the case where there was a son who actually reported his father as one of the people who rioted and attacked the Capitol on January 6th of 2021, he's got to be terrified.
Yeah, it's his father referred to him as a traitor. Isn't that rich? That's funny. That's funny.
His father called his son a traitor.
For reporting him, yes.
Thanksgiving's going
to
be fun.
And it's a Newsweek article headline, man who reported father to FBI after January 6th, quote, terrified.
Oh, I bet.
Of Trump pardons. So it's...
Michael Fanone.
Yeah.
Who was one of the officers who almost died in that attack after being stunned repeatedly. He actually had a heart attack during this attack. He's really worried, not just about himself and his mother has been swatted.
Yeah.
The man's mother. My mother has been the victim of swatting incidents. She's had bricks thrown at her home in the middle of the night. Recently, when she was raking leaves in the front yard, somebody pulled up a truck and threw a bag of crap on her. All the best people.
Yeah.
All the best people.
Just as a clarification, I want to say really quick, we were talking about the elections coming up. The spring primary election is the 18th of February. That's next month. It's Tuesday, February 18th. The general will be April the 1st, which is also a Tuesday. So just mark those on your calendars.
You need to turn out for the. It's an important election. It really is, and I know it's like, hey, Vade, and we just do this. Yes, we did.
You did. But
we live in Wisconsin. We're always voting.
We're always yay.
Representative democracy.
Yep.
We need you to come out, especially if we want to keep the fair maps that we just got.
Yeah. And we're gonna have referendums for the Wisconsin Constitution again. So
absolutely, and they're counting on a big Republican turnout for this election based on that constitutional amendment, which is therefore why we need folks to get out and make sure you vote in this Supreme Court race between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel.
Absolutely,
really, really, really important.
Yeah.
Another thing, going back to the mass pardon of all of the traitors who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. There's a lot of concern about, and again, because they couldn't go through this on a case-by-case basis because it's just too time.
It's not enough people.
I have other things to do.
Yeah.
There is recidivism from people who are released from jail.
Mm-hmm.
So if even five of the people that he just released go out and go on to commit further crimes, that kind of makes you look bad. But again, with this administration, nothing sticks.
No, because whatever they do, it'll be for patriotism and for the country. And I will continue to say this, that these, was it 1,500 people?
1,500.
1,500 people now have a pardon in their back pocket from the President of the United States of America. If you don't think that they don't feel some sort of divine immunity You're out of your mind.
Absolutely.
This is going to backfire on this country so, so hard. And I think that it is a double standard. It is waiting to blow up in our faces. And these people who are arrested are not well. They're not people who should be. They haven't learned their lesson. Let's put it that way.
And I just want to put the cherry on the sundae with this comment from Republican John Thune.
Yeah.
Who's taken over as the Senate Majority Leader for Mitch McConnell. He says Republicans are all focused on moving forward. They don't look back. Okay.
What did Mike Johnson say about the Biden family?
Oh, well, except for the Biden family.
Yeah, they're going to.
Well, except for Hunter Biden.
They're going to.
And even James Comer has said that he still wants to go after Hunter Biden.
Yeah, and they want to revisit the pardons and, you know, but they're not looking back, folks.
Oh, and everyone deserves forgiveness.
Yes, everyone deserves. Believe,
you know, Mike Johnson says everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
Except for Hunter Biden.
Especially his laptop.
Pretty much any Biden.
Yeah.
All right. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calby on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Governor Evers tonight delivering his State of the State address tonight at 7 p.m. Civic Media will have all your coverage starting at 7, along with Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m., our political editor Dan Schaefer, and also Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow. Our special coverage tonight of the 2025 State of the State address begins across the network tonight at 7 p.m. Very excited to have our next guest join us. State Senator Chris Larson is here. Good morning, sir. How are you? Oh, Chris, you must be muted. Oh, that was Calvin. Now we got you.
There you go. Thank you for having me. Good to be on.
Glad to have you here. It is dry January, of course, and that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about. And at least from my perspective as an older person, the attitude about drinking has really started to change, especially in the last decade. This, at least to my estimation, is not a bad thing. There are more and more. There's a sober section now at Lambeau Field. There are more and more bars that are catering to people who do not drink. And that's kind of a counter to Wisconsin is still terrible when it comes to binge drinking.
Yeah, that's still a problem. But I think people are changing for sure. I was out this Saturday and ordered off the non-alcoholic menu because I'm doing dry January and was happy because there was a lot of different options. And I realized looking around the bar that half the people at this bowling alley were also drinking non-alcoholic. So
really?
I was pleasantly surprised to be like, oh, okay, there's actually a lot of folks who were going about this. You know, half the people that I were with were on that same route of still going out, still socializing, but, you know, recognizing that you don't need to drink your face off every single time that you go out. So, you know, dry January is just a chance to just reset and get back to level and realize, okay, especially after the holidays, it might be a good chance to level set and, you know, restore your tolerance to a more human level.
But that's just such a positive thing, Chris, or Senator Larson, because when I was in the bars in my 20s, if you didn't drink, if you didn't order a drink, it was like, you're not drinking? Like you have a character flaw.
Sure. Yeah. And I think there's strength in numbers because a lot of folks, you don't have to do that every single time. And definitely there's a time and place. And I'm not going to try and act like I'm going to be here trying to push a new prohibition movement.
Right.
I live in Wisconsin.
right.
I hold my own. And I definitely, when I talk to friends from the other part of the country where it's, you know, what we just think of as casual drinking here, the rest of the folks in the country do think of as alcoholism, as being okay. You can't get together for a baptism without having a cooler full of Miller Lights. You know, it's like, well, we could, but we just don't.
Yeah.
So I think recognizing and just to be clear, you know, folks are free to make their own decisions. You want to make sure that you're on the healthy side of that. And, you know, friends, family should be stepping in if you are going over it. Particularly, you know, we had an event here at the Capitol, a vigil for people who are victims of reckless driving and inebriated state. So drunk driving, I think, is just the way that most people look at it. But obviously there's other forms where people are taking an edible and then getting on the road or doing other harder drugs. And that's something we want to bring attention to. We have anywhere from 200 to 300 people we lose every single year in the state. And unfortunately, a person tends to commit drunk driving 80 times before they end up being caught by one statistic, which is just stunning.
80 times. Yeah. That's insane.
Yes. But I think it's a large part because we treat drunk driving as a moving violation in the law. So you can get pulled over for drunk driving, but it's equivalent of like a speeding ticket. Whereas other places have mandated court appearances where it is a misdemeanor or higher. You could have a $10,000 fine, a year in prison. We don't have any of that. And frankly, when a person's first interaction with the law is, okay, you know, you're just called and get a ride and you just have to pay a fine. People think, well, you know, that spreads, especially in a bar. Next time a person's there, oh yeah, I got pulled over. But there was no real consequence. What we want to do is change that so that there is a consequence. My proposal that I introduce session after session is having an ignition interlock device installed on every vehicle where a person is found guilty of drunk driving. It creates a barrier where people then cannot start their vehicle unless they are purely sober. And these things have stopped 400,000 rides over a 10-year period where somebody got behind the wheel, blew, and the car would not start. So it is literally keeping dangerous people off of the roads and preventing tragedies from happening.
Well, and I think of all the number of stories that I've seen over the years, because I've been doing this a long time, people who are on their 9th DUI, their 10th yeah. or 11th or 12th DUI. And you just said that that's probably just a small fraction of the many, many other times that they have been driving drunk and just fortunately didn't hurt anybody.
Right, exactly. So this is, it's a huge problem. You know, I stood with a number of families at the vigil who, you know, they lost somebody who never even got to the age. There was one who lost their son, Lewis, who he never even reached the age of legal drinking age because he was on his way to a campsite and somebody was going 90 miles an hour, repeat offender, took his life. There was another where a woman was walking with her friend and another car was going 80 miles an hour, cleared through them and never looked back. And it upended her life and her friend that was with her. It killed her and it upended the life of the friend that was with her. And these happened within the last 5 years. So had we had better drunk driving laws on the books, I'm confident that their lives would have not have been shattered. So Mothers Against Drunk Driving helped coordinate this. They helped coordinate the action on this. And there's no reason why Wisconsin has to have the worst drunk driving laws in the country. We can do what other states have done ahead of us and have common sense. You can have a drink, you know, drink as much as you want. Just make a plan on how you're going to be able to get home, and driving should not be a part of the equation.
Wisconsin State Senator Chris Larson is our guest, and we're talking kind of a combination of things: drunk driving in Wisconsin, binge drinking in Wisconsin, dry January as well. You mentioned this measure, Senator, that you've introduced numerous times about having ignition, you know, something connected to the ignition where you have to breathe into it. And if you have if you blow a certain point, the car won't start. Who is stopping that measure?
Well, the law. So we don't have that in place. We have it for repeat offenders. So if somebody gets a second offense, or if they blow and their alcohol content is double the legal limit, then they'll have that installed on their vehicle for a year. But us changing the law, I mean, the biggest one's probably the Tavern League ends up rallying against the legislature from doing anything. I think they're a paper tiger. They don't have as much strength as they used to. And frankly, you know, if you remember, one of the big things that they pushed back in 2008 was against the smoking ban, of saying people wouldn't go out to bars if they ended up changing this. They're singing a song from the same hymnal of trying to say that if they change the drunk driving laws, and then people won't go out and drink. I have no illusions that Wisconsin will continue to have a drinking culture, and just changing the law will not change that. It is just a matter of saying you need to figure out, make sure you've got a plan for Uber, for Lyft, for have somebody to take to pick you up, to take the bus. That's it. Before you take your first step, figure out how you're getting home. And that's the change that we are looking for. And frankly, that's the change that most people in the state want to see. It's just a matter of contacting their legislators and saying, hey, on a bipartisan basis, let's just do this. Let's adjust and frankly enter the 21st century, if not belatingly.
I think one of the things we speak about is, you know, the changing attitudes. It's also how we teach maybe the younger people, the young people. I sound so old. Because I see that, you know, I work at a comedy club, and the jokes on stage about DUIs and it being a rite of passage in Wisconsin, and the fact that, you know, you get maybe the third one will stick, and the data that was released, it's been released twice now about the 50 drunkest counties in the United States of America, Wisconsin. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we got 40 of them. And I remember you coming out, I don't know if it was a video or an article, saying this is nothing to be proud of, and it doesn't make us look good to the rest of the country and the world. And it's about also messaging to young people. And I think also, as you said, Jane, like younger people just, I don't believe they're drinking as much as we did when we were younger, because I think there's far more to do too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's it. It's just a matter of having other options than just going out and drinking your face off and doing a keg stand. It's like, there's a time and place for that. It's like, it's college, and then that's it. If you do it a little bit older, your liver is going to give out, and you see it with people's health. So that's why I think, you know, why it makes sense to give a shot at dry January, and then to figure out what a good balance is. I will say, speaking of the changing attitudes, I do think one of the reasons why I think having a required ignition interlock device on all drunk drivers' cars is it changes that, Greg. So like, you know, it's one thing to be able to say, hey, I got a drunk driving, you know, and there's no consequence. It's another thing where you have to explain it to your date of why you have to blow into a tube before you start the car, right? Or you have to explain it to your daughter's friend when she gets in the car, because it's your turn to do the carpool. Why you've got to blow in into a tube or pull over, as this is how the technology works. It'll give you an alert where you have 2 minutes to pull over and blow positive while it's going, because I'm sure, you know, if you travel in the same circles, the 10, 20 years ago, the ignition interlock device was just, okay, start your car, leave it in the parking lot, go and drink, you know, or you have your buddy in the car with you, who's the designated blower, starts all the cars. Like,
what?
Guess what? Technology has adjusted. So that does not work anymore. And it creates a consequence, and just having to explain it to your kid, to your date, to, you know, your buddies, like, it's enough. That's enough for them to think, yeah, maybe I don't want one of these installed on my new car.
Well, and I think the Tavern League is missing out on an opportunity to make themselves the hero in this, because they get a lot of criticism. For one thing, why do you want to encourage this kind of behavior when all it's doing is killing more potential customers? That's never made any sense to me. And if the Tavern League actually came out in support of and worked in conjunction with rideshare programs, other things like that, they could come out the heroes in this instead of being the villains.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I think that there is, if there is a push, if there's momentum and this happens every cycle, then we have bipartisan support to actually get something done. So I'm hopeful that this will be the time where we actually do it. I mean, there's so many different tragedies. It literally touches every one of our districts. So hopefully we can get something done with that.
And you mentioned,
I will say that the governor introduced this in his budget last time too. So he's on board with it, and he may mention it tonight.
And you had mentioned, Senator Larson, that people should call their constituents because it makes a difference, right? Because I think a lot of people think, yeah, I'm going to call and leave a message and he's going to ignore me and it's not going to matter.
No, man, you'd be surprised. I mean, you just heard my phone ring in the background, but we get calls. You know, it makes a difference, especially now that most people don't pick up the phone. Everyone texts, right? This is an easy call to make. You just call and say, hey, guess what? I'm your boss. This is where I live. This is where I stand on it. And I would like to know where my legislator stands on it. Here's my number. Call me back. Thanks. That's it. And it makes a difference. And it can have an impact. And we work for you.
As we always say, if you're going to call, be polite. Don't swear. You just make yourself look bad. We're going to continue our conversation with State Senator Chris Larson, and we're going to talk about education in Wisconsin. State of the State is tonight. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. An hour from now, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the good edition. Stick around for that. Also, just a reminder, we do have some light snow falling here in Racine and around parts of the state. Go to 511wi.gov. This is going to bring up a whole map of the entire state with all the accidents everywhere. And so if you're going to be hitting the roads, it's always a good idea to check this before you head out the door. Looks like we have a big crash right now around the Columbus area. There are a number of scattered accidents around Milwaukee, Oconomowoc, and Madison. So just be careful as you head out the door this morning. Go to 511wi.gov and take a look. Make sure that you can avoid some of the mess out there on the freeways. We're joined by Wisconsin State Senator Chris Larson is here, and we're heading into a new budget, heading into a new season, and education certainly is a big conversation here, Senator Larson. What do you expect to see going forward now that we have it's a little fairer in the legislation right now, at least as far as representation is concerned? Are we actually going to get something done?
Fairer, yes, that is the correct term. Yeah, we're not quite fair in 50-50 state, but it's a 54-45 split in the assembly, and we're still down three seats in the Senate as far as the way that the split goes. So, you know, anybody's guess is as good as anyone else's. I think that there's a hope that given closer numbers that would tend to moderate and say, okay, let's find a middle where we can figure out how to work on at least things that we all agree on. You know, we mentioned drunk driving, talking about funding public education would be another one. You know, making sure that there's a common sense approach to a lot of different things, like reducing prices for folks, raising wages for people. But unfortunately, we haven't seen that yet. There's just been a move to try and limit people's access to voting. There's going to be a new constitutional amendment. So we will see. I remain hopeful that we'll actually try and get some things done. Public education is my number one priority. I'm hoping that the governor, having a superintendent background, will be something that he picks up. But a lot of our school districts, unfortunately, have fallen behind in terms of funding because the state continues to thin out their budgets, force them to go to referendum and put it all on property taxes.
I saw something yesterday, and I forget whose office it came out of. It was a Wisconsin Republican demanding more oversight over the students' results. But it always seems like those kinds of things only affect public schools. Never voucher schools or charter schools. They're good. We don't need to look over what they do and their results, right? Even though now taxpayers get the good pleasure of funding them too.
Well, we've had that for 30 years, one of the oldest voucher systems in the country. And it started as an experiment. And here we are 30 years on, and we are still treating it with kid gloves. But it is on track to dismantle the rest of the public school system. Folks might not realize this, but by the end of this budget cycle, if nothing else changes, the amount of reimbursement that voucher schools get will be higher in high schools by thousands of dollars than what your local public school gets. And they get their money directly from the state coffers, where there's no input by local officials at all in how it is allocated. They just get it. We've, in my office, have tried to focus this on just special education funding, because the discrepancy is the difference between 90%
yes.
that vouchers get reimbursed versus public schools. Do you know what it is for public schools?
I'm afraid 15.
I feel like I heard 10.
10. Oh, well, you're making me look like we're very generous coming from the state, but it is 30% that we are getting. So 90% for special for voucher schools getting from the state, 30%. And that has a huge impact, because public schools end up taking more students with disabilities,
right,
who have special needs. And so if they're not reimbursed entirely for their cost, that comes out of teaching every other kid in that school. So we've seen that effect. So we're calling. We put out a petition last week, Wisconsin Public Education Network. We pushed it yesterday from my office to say, hey, the governor needs to make up for this. Half the referendums that we keep seeing cycle after cycle wouldn't be necessary,
right,
if we funded special ed. So even if you think this doesn't affect you because your kid does not get special ed, it does. It does, in the form of bigger class sizes and smaller budgets.
And this, and tell me if I'm wrong, these kinds of moves overwhelmingly impact rural districts, because they don't have a lot of options for schools. In a lot of those areas, the public school is the heart of the community. That's where they meet. That's where everybody's kids go. That's where the sports happen. That's where, and they don't have five charter schools to pick from.
Right. Yeah. And having the loss of a handful of students there means, the way that the budget is written, that they're missing out on tens of thousands of dollars every time they're losing a few students. So that is going to spell the end of a lot of rural schools, which is why, you know, other states like Texas have not started a voucher program, because in Tennessee, they've looked at Wisconsin, they've seen what happens to rural schools, and they say, we're going to take a pass. Even in states where that's predominantly Republican, they're like, we know this is going to hurt rural schools the most.
Yeah. If you don't think vouchers are a big deal, look at what's happening in Arizona and Tennessee in particular. And Governor Bill Lee in Tennessee isn't giving up on funding, on funding voucher schools. We're out of time. Senator Chris Larson has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much, sir. Really appreciate your time. We'd love to have you back.
My pleasure. Thank you. Stay warm.
You as well. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We crawl. We crawl. We crawl. All over you. We
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.